Hello and welcome. This is Connie Reagan Green from HugeProfitsTinyList.com. The call that you'll be listening to today and participating in, if you're here with us live, is part of my online marketing tips podcast series. Today, our focus is on our productivity challenge, all new for 2013, which I'm very, very excited about. Whether you are here live or listening in replay years and years from now, you'll want to go over to productivitychallengeonline.com and make sure that you've left a comment at least once to let me and the others know that you're participating in this challenge. And I'll tell you a bit of the history before I open up the line and start answering questions. I started the first blog challenge back in 2009. Very few people know that now because so many people have gone in different directions and taken the blog challenge and used it for their own people. And the reason that I stopped doing it after 3 years was my people would just write blog posts like mad. They'd just be writing in a frenzy. And writing is good. Writing is important. You want to create your own content. But at the end of 30 days, they would typically have 20 to 30 posts that they had done, and they weren't really moving their business forward. It's nice to have more content on your site, but if you're not creating products, if you're not providing services, if you're not serving others in a way that helps them and increases your income, then the challenge really didn't have the value that I had hoped that it would have. So what I did in 2011 was to completely decide I would never do a blog challenge again, and instead I started a productivity challenge. And you can go back and take a look at those if you want to. They're at 21 days and the number 2, the number 1, 21 days of productivity.com is one of them. The other one is, I don't know, I can't remember the link for the other one, but the current one is productivitychallengeonline.com. So what I do is I start a blog post. I know I'm going to be adding to it either for 21 days or in this case, I've moved it to 30 days. And then I purchase a domain name to forward to that post. It's easy to remember, but as you're seeing, I can't actually remember the one for the other year. And in that case, I reach behind me on my shelf and I look up alphabetically. And it should be under P. And the other one should be at, when you have 550 domains, it takes a while. Let me see, productivity, I started it with something else, so I'm not going to be able to give you that link today. You can always ask me if you want to have it. But for now, let's focus on what we can do to be the very most productive every single day in our business. And I want to stress the importance of having a schedule. All of the years that I was teaching, I was in the classroom for 20 years. At the same time, before I became a teacher, I had started doing real estate. And when I became a teacher, I had continued doing real estate. So for 20 plus years, I was doing real estate. And I really disliked the idea of being on a schedule. I disliked the idea that I had to wait until 10 o'clock every morning until it was recess time before I could have a snack, make a phone call if I needed to in a very quick manner, and use the restroom. And it seemed like, it would be so wonderful just to have that freedom of doing things when I wanted to. I knew that lunch was at 12:20 and it would go until 1 o'clock. That was 40 minutes. And I just thought having a schedule is so, so horrible. I can't wait until someday, and I never said when I retired, because I knew that I would leave the workforce long before retirement age, and sure enough, I did. I left at age 50. So I resigned and moved on into my entrepreneurial life. But I always thought, gee, it would be so wonderful not to have a schedule. Well, that worked for a little while, or actually it didn't work when I got started online in 2006. By not having a schedule, I didn't accomplish very much. I wasn't productive at all, and I wasn't making any money. And so I went back to having a schedule. Now the schedule is on my terms, so it has that flexibility built in. I'm able to do what I want to do and when I want to do it, The business moves forward every single month. I've increased my income for 7 years now, and it's because I have a schedule in place, but it's one that works for me, not for a business or a company or a school somewhere. So I'd like to start with that idea, and let me open the lines. All right, does anyone have a comment about having a schedule in place and what they like about that and what they don't like about it? All right, well, we have lots of shy people. Someone saying, how do we see this is a teleseminar that gets turned into a podcast, so it's not a webinar. Very interesting how the technology has changed over the years, where it used to be that very few people did teleseminars, and finally more and more people, such as myself, started doing regular teleseminars. Then about 4 years ago, people started doing some webinars, and I waited about a year and then decided I really had to jump in if I was going to stay competitive in the marketplace, and I would start doing webinars. And now our expectation is that everyone would do a webinar always. So this is how it works for me. My webinars are part of my paid training classes. So I have my weekend marketer course. I have a full mentor program. I have a variety of things that I do that are webinars. That way I can show my screen and I can teach. I also host people on webinars where they're doing the teaching. When I'm doing a call like this, then I do it just audio only. For one thing, it's easy, and you'll see in today's day 16 of the Productivity Challenge, I've again revisited the idea of doing teleseminars, allowing people to hear your voice, and I've said that the technology is super, super simple. We all know how to use a phone or how to click on the link and listen through the teleseminar page, especially with this service that I use. All right, let me scroll down. All right, and I love that so many people said that they were coming. They were planning on being in attendance. And I always look at that. I look at the names because the people that do that are people that are more serious about life in general. And I love to have fun. Fun is my very favorite thing. And I love to be silly, and I have a great sense of humor. But when it comes to our business, we have to be more serious about doing things. All right, George has a question. He has his blog set up, and he says, I recently relaunched my blog to a positive response. I need to know what are the next steps, how to increase visitors. Let's see. All right, so if you have noise, what you can do is you can star six yourself. I've star six that person. And then if you want to come back in and ask a question, just do star seven. And that way it doesn't interfere with the call. All right, so let's go back to this question from George. And he wants to know how to increase visitors and how to monetize the traffic. So these are excellent, excellent questions. And actually, our call today is sponsored by Guest Blogging Secrets. And that's a $17 course that I bought from Nicole Dean when she first put it out. And that, I'm going to say, is probably your number one way to get visitors and to monetize your traffic. The reason is, when we do guest posts for each other, and I now do this with a group of people that we've reached out to each other because we have complementary niches. So the people are not doing identical to what I'm doing, but they're doing things very, very similar, such as Nicole Dean. Many people that I could name. I have about a dozen people. And I love to get guest posts from them as well. And the reason that we do this is that we're getting each other's traffic. So over the years, I've built up my traffic quite a bit on hugeprofitstinylist.com and on ConnieReaganGreen.com. And what's wonderful about that is that the people that come to me, they trust me. They know that I'm going to tell them why I'm doing something after I've told them what I'm doing, because you want the details of everything. And they know that I'll only bring someone to them that would also be very transparent and very generous in sharing their ideas and their experiences, because we learn so much from what other people are doing. That's just crucial to our success. So what you want to do, George, is find people that you can do guest posts for. And that's why I love what Nicole Dean put together, because it makes it very, very simple. And I know she was supposed to raise the price on that training, and she hasn't. So my guess is that she probably won't raise the price, which means you don't need to purchase it today at guestbloggingsecrets.com. You can purchase it whenever you're ready to start doing that. And that's really the best with anything that I or anyone else promote to you. If it's not something that you're ready to take action on in the next month, then hold off on it. It'll still be there in one form or another. So then we want to monetize this traffic, but I really prefer to call it visitors, because when I go to someone's site, I don't want to be thought of as traffic. I want to be thought of as a visitor who has value. And if you think that way, I think you'll build the business bigger and in a much better way. So in the business sense, yes, it's traffic that we're driving to places, but we really want to increase our visitorship. That's most important. So monetize, well, first, show yourself as a trusted advisor, someone that really has something to offer on your niche topic. You know, whatever that topic is, the people that are involved in it, what do they want to know? What kind of information do they need from you? So share that experience. And from the very beginning, my blog posts have always been very revealing. I've said what works, what doesn't work, why I'm doing something, all of the details. And my goal most of the time is not to sell from the blog post. Most of the time, I want people to join my list, and then I want them to communicate with me. So they can communicate with a comment on the blog, or they can hit reply to one of my emails and start a conversation with me that way. So I hope I have answered your question. And for the rest of that, George, email me. All right. Okay, any other questions in regard to a schedule or receiving more visitors and monetizing your blog?
Yes, Connie?
Yes.
Hi, it's Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I'm not building my list. I'm blogging twice a week, and I check where I'm rated in Technorati, and I am moving up. I'm getting spam, but I'm not getting people visiting or building my list.
All right, share your URL with us.
HealthyDogsWorld.com.
Okay, HealthyDogsWorld.com. And how long has the site been active?
Oh, it's only been 6 weeks.
Okay, all right. Because I want everybody listening to hear that it is new and that you're just getting started. So now when we go here, you have the theme that's the default theme that comes with WordPress. So the first thing that I would suggest is to have a header made for it.
Okay.
And in the header, preferably it'd be a picture of you with a dog.
Okay.
Okay. So that way when we come here, right, because right now when someone comes here, they say, oh, well, it's brand new. Let me see if there's interesting and anything interesting for me. And then they may or may not continue with that. They
okay.
may just click away. So, and that happens in the very beginning. What I like is that right away you have information for us, and on the right-hand side you have free report reveals how chiropractic care can turn back the clock for your dog. I love that. What I'd love to see there is a picture, an image of
oh.
the report that you're going to be sending out.
In that top area, Connie?
Yes, and there is a way, that's an Aweber form that you have, and there is a way to add it in there.
Okay.
There are different ways that you can do it. I tend to put a graphic representation of my report. So if you go to your online marketing platform.com, you'll see I have a little image of the report. Because even
okay.
though what we're sending out is digital, people want to be able to visualize the kind of thing they're going to receive. When I show
okay.
it the way I'm showing it on that site, then you know, it's the very idea of a PDF. They know what it is. They know that it's not an audio recording or a video.
Okay.
So I would do that. Then
Hi,
another thing
Connie?
I would do. I'm sorry?
I was saying, could you give your URL again?
Yes, it is healthydogsworld.com.
Yours where you show the report.
And oh, mine is youronlinemarketingplatform.com.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so then another thing I'd like to see you do is have a post that stays at the top. I call this a sticky post, but I'm not sure what the official name for it is. And that post at the top would be similar to your about page, and I see you do have an about page.
Mm-hmm.
But you want something on, okay, and then also we want a picture closer up of you.
Okay, yeah, it's far down. It's at the
all
end.
All right, and then also on that about page, don't have it open for comments.
Okay.
Just go into your pages in WordPress and just check the box that so you won't allow comments on it. You don't want comments on your about page. So
my about me page, you mean?
Right.
Okay.
All right. So on the main page of the blog, though, you want a post that will stay up at the top. And if you go to either of my blogs, ConnieReaganGreen.com or HugeProfitsTinyList.com, you'll see that I have a post that stays at the top on both of those, even though I also have about pages on those.
Okay. So the post actually appears at the top. It's not in that horizontal bar home about Cheryl Major, and it wouldn't be next to that. It would actually
right.
Be
it would be page. It would be a post that would always stay at the top.
Okay. Is
and
it
I guess
shorter?
It also could be like an announcement. Well, take a look at mine.
Okay, I will. Yeah,
and
thanks.
That way it'll give you an idea because you know, for length and everything, that's really up to you.
Okay.
On what you're doing.
Okay.
Okay, so our focus today really is productivity, and I want people to get involved with the challenge. And this year, I tried to make it so it suited people at all levels. So if you're brand new, you don't have anybody on your list, you should be able to come right in, fall right into place, and get moving with things. Because remember, we all started with no list. And the people that I know, not one of them came into the business with friends that sent out a mailing, and all of a sudden, overnight, they had a list. I've met people like that now, but the people that I'm connected with in the online world, we all came to the table, you know, brand new. So that challenge is really intended for people at any level. If you already have a list, then you can do things in a little bit different way. So we've talked about the importance of a schedule, and it's so, so important because every day during that 24-hour period, you have some hours that I refer to as prime time hours where you are more awake, more alive, more energetic. And if you can hear it in my voice, you can tell I'm still in my prime time hours. So Pacific time right now, it's after 11, which means I'm at the end of my prime time. My prime time starts at 6:30 or 7 in the morning and goes, I always say it goes till 10 o'clock or so. After 12 noon, I'm a little tired, and it doesn't have anything to do with how much exercise I get in the morning or what I eat in the morning. That's just the way my body clock is. And you have the same thing. You have a period of time, and it might be 2 hours or 4 hours. Usually it's only once a day. I've now been able to fairly successfully have a second prime time period in the evenings from about 7 to 9 p.m., so sometimes I'm able to write and do things during that time, and I'm thrilled about that, to have those additional hours. But it isn't typical, and it did take some work to do that. So you want to find out when your prime time hours are. All right, let me go back through the questions. Thank you so much for coming and giving me all the nice questions. All right, and Barbara says, would you go over using WordPress for additional opt-in pages, which you stated that you do? Yes, one example is the one that I gave, youronlinemarketingplatform.com. The idea with this is that you want additional sites. Start with just one more additional site where you can have it the way I have this one. It's very, very simple. I have others where I have a video instead of my text and my bullet points, but this is the way I really like people to learn. This page has a very simple header, if you even want to call that a header. It's a picture of me that got chopped off on one side, and just build your online marketing platform with Connie Reagan Green. So, you know, very little creativity with that. Then it has a headline. Do you have the credibility and visibility online to achieve the income results you want and need? This is done by building an online marketing platform, and I'll teach you exactly how to do this. So now when people come here, if they're not interested in doing this, then they click away because it isn't for them. We're not all a good fit for everyone. But if people come here and say, yes, this is what I want. I want to build my credibility and visibility. I want to build an online marketing platform. Then they'll read down a little further. In all of my pages that I do this, and I've got close to 50 of them now, I have the same thing where I kind of ask a question, talk about something a little bit in the first paragraph. The second paragraph, I describe myself and I introduce myself. The third paragraph, I talk about the special report they're going to get. And then I put the three bullet points. And then at the bottom there, I just give instructions what to do. And that might sound silly, but you really have to tell people, and all of us, you have to tell all of us what to do. So if you've purchased a product and they send you to a download page, you're familiar with the step-by-step instructions. And we all appreciate that. You know, do we right-click? Do we just click once and open another page? Well, what do we do to get our stuff? So the same in your opt-in pages, give people directions. I said here, enter your first name and primary email in the form on your right. You'll receive the special report in your email inbox in just minutes. You'll be on your way to a profitable online business today. So then they look over to the right, and they see where they can put in their first name and their email. If you've been to sites where they're asking you for first name, last name, email address, telephone number, all these things, at some point during that process, you may not complete it because you're saying, well, I don't even know who these people are. I really would like to have the free giveaway, but I don't want to give all this information. So ask for as little as possible. That's my advice. So Barbara, the answer to your question is you want to have at least, just start with one, have an additional domain name that you do the one-click install of WordPress on, and that way all you have to do is go in and create a little page like I've done on the front, give your information on the side so people can opt into a list, and then a thank you page, and that's another page that you create. So any questions about that?
Yes, Connie. This is Pat.
Yes.
Now, say I'm with HostGator, or I think you have Bluehost. That means that I have an additional domain attached to my account, rather than this is not a subpage of your regular blog.
Right, it's a brand new domain, and I'm glad you're asking.
Domain.
I'm glad you're asking the questions. Oh, and I found my other domains, because if we're going to talk about domains, I have my list again. So right now, as of today, I have 546 domains, and I love them. They're my virtual real estate. So for the Productivity Challenge, the earlier ones, I have 21dayproductivitychallenge.com and 21daysofproductivity.com, and in both cases, it's 21-2-1. All right, so you purchase the domain. And I use both HostGator and Bluehost. I just prefer Bluehost. It's just a much easier interface for me, but I have accounts at both. You add the domain. Well, the first thing you do is you purchase it, and you can buy it. I recommend GoDaddy. I give a discount link so people can buy it at GoDaddy at the lowest possible cost. All of my domains are there. So when I print out my list, it comes out alphabetical. And this time it's 8 pages. They made the font smaller, so now it fits on 8 pages instead of even more it used to be. So then you go in and change the domain name servers, the DNS. If I'm changing it to Blue, if I'm changing it to HostGator, I think it's ns. Host 130. I'm not sure. When you sign up for the account, they're going to send you what your domain name servers are. For Bluehost, it's ns1.bluehost.com and ns2.bluehost.com. They keep it very simple. And the NS stands for name server. But if you look back to the first email you received from HostGator, they'll tell you, I think mine are 113 and 114, but I'm not positive because I don't add things there very often. Then you go in, and in either case, you do a one-click install to set up WordPress on the site. Then you have the WordPress, and you can Google for this information. You know, if you're not sure how to do something technical, an excellent way is to Google it, go over to YouTube. and then you're all set. Then you go in and create your pages, and what I'm recommending to do is just two pages. It's the front page and a thank you page with the ability for them to opt in. Does that answer your question?
That does. And I have a little secret site where I get a discount on GoDaddy's domains.
Yeah, please don't give it, though, on this call. You can email it to me if you want to.
Oh, okay.
For my people, they can go to connieloves.me/domain sale.
Okay.
All right. So Dana has a question.
I have a question about where do these lists, I mean, they all go to AWeber. Do they aggregate there? And when you email, can you email them all at once? Or do you have, when you send out your emails, are you having
you
to send that same email?
Yeah, you can send to anything, any group of lists that you want to. Just go
lists.
Over to AWeber, and you can just go through their tutorial and do it. And one thing that I'll, you know, share with everyone is, a lot of the questions I'm getting are technical, tactical questions. You have to get past this to build a business. So don't worry about what happens. Just do it, and then you'll see.
Okay.
All right? I can always tell when people really aren't doing it, because that's the question. It's like, what if I do this, and what if I do that, and, you know, what'll happen? You must do it. You must fail. You must send out an email that doesn't go where you want it to go so that you see how it works. And then you contact customer support. AWeber is wonderful. You pick up the phone, you either talk to them, you email them, and they'll get you all straightened out. If you wait more than 24 hours to do this, you do not have as great a likelihood of success. How do I know this? I've been helping people now for 6 of my 7 years, and that's what I see over and over again. So you must get moving with everything. All right, the next question we have is from Dana. And she says, I am highly scheduled with a definite routine. The only negative is when something changes that routine, it's not as easy to get something done. All right, well, this is an interesting concept, because when I was in the classroom, you know, we did everything with a bell schedule. And everything, we lived and died by the bell. But there were emergency situations. I taught in the inner city of Los Angeles, so we never knew when we might have a lockdown. Usually if somebody was coming back to your classroom, maybe they had been at the nurse's office or in the restroom or something, and they'd say, I hear a helicopter. And so all the teachers, we knew if somebody said that, you open the door and you listen. And sure enough, if that helicopter is hovering, then you close the door, you lock the door, you close the blinds, and you call the office on the classroom phone. And you say, is everything all right? And if there's a problem, by then they've come over the loudspeaker system and they've said, we're on lockdown. That's all they say. That means if someone's in the restroom, someone will go and grab them and take them to the office. If they're in the nurse's office, they stay there. If they're on the yard, they have to go into the closest classroom. That all happens very quickly. We all became professionals at lockdowns, unfortunately. The problem was it ruined your schedule for the rest of the day, that you still had work that had to be completed. So you had to, as quickly as possible, get back on track and regain focus so that you could have that productivity during the day. So the same thing with your business. If something throws you off, and more than likely, it won't be a police lockdown where nobody can come and go sometimes for hours, because that isn't fun at all. So more than likely, you have something much smaller that's going on, and what you want to do is kind of practice. What do you do? For me, if someone comes to the door when I'm working, I don't answer the door. If it's an emergency, I'll know it. They'll let me know. I either would feel an earthquake, or somebody would call me on my cell phone and I would hear that while I'm, you know, busy working, something like that. But I can't be running downstairs into the front of the house to answer the door 3 or 4 times in the morning. That doesn't work for me. If someone comes to the door, they haven't been invited by me. I don't invite anybody to come over during my prime time. So get used to how you handle those disruptions, and finally, you'll be able to eliminate most of them. And this really does work. Another thing I want to bring up now is something that I've shared quite often with my students. Not everybody here is one of my students. It's called rocks, pebbles, sand. And I don't know if you're familiar with this story or not, but a philosophy professor was in front of the classroom and he had a large jar, a wide mouth jar, and he filled it with some rocks about 2 inches in diameter. And he said to the class, "Is the jar full?" Because he couldn't get one more rock in there. And everybody said yes. Then he pulled out some pebbles and he put the pebbles in and they filled the jar by falling in between all the rocks. So finally you've got all these rocks and you've got 10 times as many pebbles. And he said, "All right, well, now is it full?" And everybody said, "Well, now it is, yes." And then he brings out the sand. And as he pours in the sand, those tiny little grains of sand go in between the rocks and the pebbles and fill it up even more. So then the jar is full. I even add water. If you add water to it, you can even get some water in between those grains of sand. The idea with this is to be the most productive, we must choose our rocks. Your rocks are the things in your personal and business life that are the most important to you. My writing is a rock for me. It's the only part of my business that's a rock. Just about everything else is a pebble. In my personal life, spending time with friends and family, that's a rock, and that's all scheduled ahead of time. And also doing charitable work, something that I love so, so much, that's already scheduled. Those are rocks for me. Everything else is a pebble. If it's something like television or I'm trying to think of something else that might be sand, something that really I can take or leave. You know, television really comes to mind. Hanging on the phone with people for long periods of time, that's sand for me. So you want to make sure that you know what's a rock, what's a pebble, and what's sand in your life, and make it business and personal. Put it on your calendar, and you can do it in different colors. That works extremely well, where you're able to see just what's what. So any questions or comments about that?
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome. If your line is closed and you want to talk, just hit *7, and that will bring you back in. All right. Cheryl says, if you're doing a guest blog and they want a bio section, do you pretty much include your about section that's on your blog? Try to get it down to just one paragraph. So for me, I say, Connie Reagan Green is a former classroom teacher and real estate broker slash appraiser who left it all behind to come online in 2006. After a disappointing first year where she earned almost no money, she then went on to put the pieces together and find great success as an author, speaker, and online marketing mentor.
Okay, thanks.
So that's 3 or 4 sentences, I guess. And at this point, I kind of know that by heart because it's what I say over and over. And Kim says she loves the rock, pebble, sand example. Yeah, you can Google for it, and you'll find that story on a couple of people's blogs. I've included it in 2 of my books, maybe 3, and share that with my students. And when I was first introduced to that, it was at a personal development seminar that I went to, and they did it in person. They had a big plastic wide mouth jar that they used, and it was very, very powerful the way they did it. And then the man presenting pulled out his desk calendar where he had in different colors the time he spent with his family and the time that he spent presenting at events. So he had personal rocks and business rocks. And then he showed the other things that really were pebbles. They were things he wanted to do, things he would accomplish during a month, but not something he gave the top priority to. Like when I'm on an airplane, because I'm flying quite a bit to different events, both, you know, mainly for business and then for personal, usually every other month. When I do that, I make sure that I have a notebook to write in. I've got at least one device with me. Right now, the iPad mini is my device of choice, and it's filled with wonderful books to read. I also usually have 1 or 2 movies that I can watch that have been downloaded. And I also have a physical paperback book with me. So I like to make sure that all those things, those are pebbles for me, I like to make sure that all my pebbles can be accomplished in the air, and the writing is actually a rock. So if I do some writing, even if I get just 1 page of writing done on a flight, I consider that a success. So all of this is a great way to be more productive. All right, yes.
Hi, it's Cheryl. Do you color code differently for personal rocks and business rocks, or rocks
yes.
are just one color?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I would color code it separately.
Okay.
Separately, and mainly you do that so that you can show that to family and close friends and show them that they have their own color and they have their own times that you spend. I have a friend that I don't really get to spend a lot of time with. She's got four children. She's very, very busy with the kids. But I make sure once a month we have about 3 hours where just she and I, we go for lunch, we do a little shopping, gives us time just to walk around and talk. And we both really look forward to that. And it's much better than trying to be on the phone for 10 or 15 minutes a couple times a week, or just maybe, you know, coming over to each other's house and spending time when one of us has to rush off and do something. Instead, she knows, because I'm the one that really started that, and she knows that she's my focus during those hours we spend together. And Thursday at lunch works for both of us because she has a part-time job. And, I mean, she's super, super busy with a husband and four children that go from age 7 to 17. So she's got a lot of things filling her life that I don't have at this point in my life. I don't have children that I'm responsible for. I have adult stepchildren and grandchildren that are, you know, cared for. I care for them at times, but I'm never a main caregiver for them. So that time with her is valuable to both of us, and I was so glad when we started doing that a couple of years ago so that I could show my appreciation for her, how much I really think of her and want to spend that time with her. So people love it when they have their own color. All right, and Kim says, what was the name of Nicole's $17 course? It should be the big button on that page. It's guestbloggingsecrets.com. All right, other questions before we move on? All right, Andrea says that she'd like to have a more concrete schedule. It gives me a more concrete, tangible goals. Yes, it really does, especially like if I'm writing a book. So I'm working on a new book now, and I really want to have it finished by the end of June. But in the meantime, one of the books that I have on Kindle, The Time Management Strategies for Entrepreneurs that I co-wrote with Jeff Hoff, we're turning that one into a paperback. We realized it wasn't as long as we wanted it to be to publish it in paperback. On Kindle, it doesn't matter if it's a little bit shorter. It's about maybe, I think he said it was going to be about 90 pages in Kindle if we turned it then into paperback. And I said, 90 pages doesn't feel long enough for me. I prefer 110 to 120. So what we're doing is we're adding an additional section on productivity, and that'll be finished in the next couple of days. We've been working on it about a week, maybe a week and a half. And so that becomes a priority, and then the minute that that's finished, which I believe my section will be finished probably by Tuesday or Wednesday this week, then I immediately go back to the other book I'm writing, The Internet Marketing Lifestyle, and I work on it a little bit every day. So sometimes a half hour, sometimes an hour or more, depending on how I'm feeling with that writing. So that's important to really know what you're doing and when you're doing it.
Connie?
Yes.
I have a question. It's Cheryl. I sent this to you, but since I have the opportunity, I'll ask. Since I'm just basically trying to build my list, am I ahead of myself if I try to learn how to build membership sites?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. That's something I wish I had done more of in the very beginning.
Okay.
I wish I had started them because they are so, so valuable, and that's how you really build up the residual income.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let me go down the list for more questions. William says, in your opinion, what's the best time to start your day? Well, this is an interesting topic because in my 10K laser coaching program, we kind of discussed that at length several months ago. And I like to start pretty early in the morning. I used to teach, you know, where I had to get up at about 4:30, quarter to 5. I needed to be out of the house before 6 o'clock so that I could get where I was going to the school, which is about 20 miles, but the traffic is bad in the Los Angeles area. So I had to be, if I was in the car at a quarter to 6, it was really perfect. and then I was at school by 7 and really going for the day, and people would say, oh, it's so wonderful, you're a morning person. And I, because I was cheery in the morning, and I'd say, well, I don't really think of myself as a morning person. I'm just a person who has a job that requires you to be there early in the morning. And over those years, you know, I always thought, gee, wouldn't it be nice just to sleep until 9 or 10 and start the day later? Well, here I am on the internet, and I'm indeed a morning person. So I get up early with the dogs. They like to get up about 6. Then they go outside, and then they come back in. They really want to just go to sleep. And so I leave them downstairs then. And I start my writing pretty soon after that. So by 6:30, I'm typically at my computer. The only time I go back to sleep is if I was out late the evening before. So you have to start at a time that's good for you. However, I believe if you don't start your day until 10 or 11 or noon, that you're really doing yourself a disservice, because the internet world really comes alive by 8 or 9 Eastern time. It really does. So you want to be up and be part of that at least about 4 days a week. You don't have to do that 7 days a week. I think of my work schedule really as being Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So those are the days that I primarily am doing the things that I'm talking about. But I still get up early on those other days as well. All right, any questions about the challenge itself? Remember, you can go to productivitychallengeonline.com. All right, and Dana says, do you have a special place to buy your URLs or using multiple registrars? Yeah, see, a lot of tactical questions. You've got to just jump in and do it. You can start with just one Bluehost account or one HostGator account. I use Bluehost exclusively for the first 3 or 4 years. Finally, when I got to 100 domains, I had a second Bluehost account. And then after that, I decided to go back to HostGator, give them a try, and see. And I keep things there mainly because I don't know, I still don't have the joy of working with HostGator that I have from Bluehost. That's just my honest opinion based on my experience. So the domains that I have at HostGator primarily are ones that are handled by my tech people. They're ones that I don't go into. So I know how to. I can go in and do some things, but primarily I'm not there. I'm primarily in Bluehost regularly. So, but the question that you're asking me about multiple registrars and all kinds of things, you know, go ahead and set up your business. You'll be okay. Trust me. All right, Elizabeth says, I'm adding a free 6-day e-course to my AWeber autoresponder. Does it make sense at the end of the e-course to offer a PDF of the course content with an added bonus section and charge a fee for it? If so, should it just be a download from my website, or should I put it on ClickBank? I'm finding AWeber to be very intuitive, and you are right that the support is terrific. All right, so let's talk about e-courses. E-courses are fantastic, but once you're offering it for free, it's free content. It's free training. So I wouldn't want to charge a fee for it. And if you have something on ClickBank for sale, and then they see that most of that is available for free, they probably would pull that, is my guess, because it's really not fair. I have things that I've charged for initially, and then I give them away. First, I give them as a bonus to a paid item, and finally, within a year or so, I just give that information away. So you're really better off, you know, using it to build the list, to really build the connection. But what I recommend instead of offering something for pay at the end is starting on probably day 2 of a 6-day e-course, at the end of each lesson, I think of them as daily lessons or every other day, however you're delivering it, offer something for sale that is relevant and appropriate to what you're teaching at the end of each lesson. And then offering the PDF, I learned the hard way with this, so I'll share my experience. I can't remember if it was 5 or 7, I think it was a 7-day e-course. And people were writing to me and they'd say, you know, I got day 1 and 2 and now I got day 4 from you just now, but I didn't get day 3. Can you send me day 3? And I would go into my One Shopping Cart account, which I still use to send emails and autoresponders, and I would copy and paste that into an email and send it to them. And that took time and effort. So now, starting on day two, day one, you know, people are deciding if they want this or not. Starting on day two and every day thereafter, I include a link to the PDF of the entire e-course. That way they can download it and they have it. That's insurance. They have it on their hard drive. Then they can still receive it from you every day and they can learn that way. But if they do not receive it one day, for whatever reason, it goes into spam or they deleted it or something, then they have the entire course. So that works out very, very well. All right, William says, I'm having a hard time to choose my niche. I just got started reading your books. Oh, wonderful, thank you. I've attended a couple of seminars. And, oh, William, yes, I just met you at Ray Edwards' event in Phoenix. Wonderful. But I still don't get it. How can I start as an affiliate because I don't feel ready yet to have my own product? Well, you really want to choose a niche. Choose something that you have an interest in, that you have some experience in, and where there's a market of people who are searching for information and help and training and products in that niche that they're willing to spend money for. So that takes a little, you know, soul searching. What I recommend is setting up a three-circle Venn diagram. If you remember these from school, it's three circles that all come together in the middle. One of the circles is what you're interested in, and list everything, even if it's something you haven't done since you were a child. Photography, swimming, you know, as you're older, other things, real estate, tennis, you know, anything you have an interest in. Then, in one of the circles, and you can do this as a list, three lists instead of three circles, but in the next one, what are you interested in? What did you go to school to study? What kind of jobs do you have? I had an interesting job once long ago in the 1980s, the early 1980s. I worked for a company that they would import pagers from somewhere, I don't even know what country, and they would program those pagers for different types of companies. So I was one of the people that kind of did it all. I would do some customer service. I would talk to people starting a new account, and I would also drive out to their business, and sometimes it was in downtown Los Angeles. And I would go, and you'd find a parking space and go up high in the building, go to the office, and you'd show the person how the pager worked, because that was a big thing then. Cell phones were not a big thing then. So they would get all going with the pager, and then sometimes they had questions, so they had to call into customer service. Or sometimes it didn't work, so they'd have to drop it in the mail, and you'd either deliver a new one to them or mail them a new one. So during that time, I was there about 6 months. During that time, I had a whole lot of really specific knowledge on how everything worked. And it was very interesting. It really was. Not interesting enough for me to make a career out of it, but very interesting nonetheless. So if I was making a list then of things that I had experience in, that would be something that I had experience in this area of pagers and customer service. So everything that you've done. Also, experiences that you've gone through that you didn't choose, such as having a child in the family who's autistic, having someone in the family who's diabetic or has asthma, or like in my case, I'm a multiple cancer survivor. That's part of my experience and would go in that circle, even though I didn't choose that experience. The third circle, or the third list, is where there's a market. Are there people willing to buy? And the way you'll find that out, if you Google for your topic and there are things for sale, many things, more than two or three, there are people buying them, especially if they're paying for advertisement, like in Google AdWords. Where those three circles come together, that's the sweet spot. That's where you can choose a niche. So all of us really have multiple opportunities to choose a niche. All right, and Elizabeth says, thank you for the advice on e-courses. You've saved me from wasting lots of time. Wonderful. What you said makes perfect sense. Well, thank you. All right, Al says, do you have a secret to help a person stick to the schedule? I sit at a desk to write, and then all of a sudden it becomes apparent that I must organize my desk in order to write. Then I will certainly be more productive if I have the laundry going, etc. Then my time block is over, and I have the Word doc open, at least. Discipline. All right, Al, yeah, you bring up really great points. You have to make yourself be disciplined. And it's not so easy in the beginning. The alternative, excuse me, is having a job where the job itself will force you to be disciplined. So in the classroom, you know, just say that it's 8:30 in the morning and I'm starting the language arts lesson, and I know that we'll be doing reading and writing and spelling, everything related to language arts, between 8:30 and 10. It was not possible for me to say, well, you know, I'd like to write out a bill. I need to send a letter in today. Let me get my checkbook out and excuse me. Let me start writing this check, and then I need to take it over to the office so when they come and pick up the mail, it'll be ready to go out. It just doesn't work that way. So you must be a self-starter if you're going to be an entrepreneur. There really isn't any other way. Excuse me. So that means you cannot do the laundry when you're writing. You must organize the desk the night before and do whatever you have to do to keep it organized if that's an issue for me, for you. For me, I tend to have some papers all over, and I usually only once a week put everything away. So do whatever it is you have to do. Remember that only about 1% of the people in the world are cut out to be an entrepreneur. More than that are entrepreneurs, but it doesn't become natural for them. So it sounds like it's not coming natural to you, so it'll take some extra work on your part to really get that discipline going. If you can get yourself to do it, you'll have it for life. It was like with me, with the writing. It wasn't that I wasn't disciplined in spending that time. I just was not a writer. I wasn't used to writing. So I'd write a little something and then I'd stop. So when I made myself write an article a day, and I said I would write 100 articles in 100 days, and that ended up only taking me 78 days, 6 years ago, that turned me into a focused, disciplined writer. So if you can challenge yourself to do something every single day that you know is a part of your business, because now, if I don't write, it feels like something's wrong. It feels like I left my keys somewhere, or I needed to call someone and I can't remember who it is. If you know that feeling, a feeling like I've forgotten something, I've lost something, something's missing, that's how I feel if I don't write. That's why I always have notebooks with me. And wherever I go, I write down something, because that's just part of who I am now. And that honestly only took about 30 days. All right, and Kim says, I have a page on Weebly, okay, which is not a site that you own and control, so it's just kind of for fun, and you need to think of it that way. It's a part of your business, but it's a part that comes way after you've set up the actual business. All right. And you said you're frustrated with formatting, want to change it over to WordPress. Just get hosting. I recommend BlueHostSolutions.com. That is my affiliate link. Do the one-click install of WordPress. They'll do it with you over the phone. It's that easy to do. Copy and paste your content. And then probably take down the Weebly page, because I think Weebly wants original content. You know, I've used them to help, you know, with my marketing, but I found it of such little value. You know, and you're saying that you purchased a domain through them. Yeah, if your domain has Weebly as part of it, then you don't own and control that site. You have to own and control your business. Let me give you an analogy. Just say that you've decided you're going to sell handbags. And you'd love to have a store, but you're not sure you really want to commit to that or not. You go to the mall, and the manager of the mall says, you know, I heard that you want to sell handbags. We have one of the little kiosks here in the main area available. Nobody's using it. And you could set up and start doing your business tomorrow. And you go, wow, that's so exciting. And so you bring all the handbags that you've been making, and you've bought some that you can sell, and you're in business. And you're in business for a couple of months. And maybe this is October and November, and you're so, so excited, and people are thrilled to be buying the handbags from you. And one day the manager comes over and he says, oh, it's been so wonderful to have you, but we've leased out this kiosk to someone else. If you could pack everything up, you know, by the end of the day, we'd appreciate it because the new people are coming in tomorrow. And you'd say, oh, but I have a lot of stuff. No, that's okay. We have some boxes and we have a couple of people that will help you to get everything out to your car, but we really have to close this down because the new company's coming in. And so all of a sudden you're out of business. And the next day some of your customers come and they're looking for you. And they say, where's the lady that sold those beautiful handbags? I want to get some as Christmas presents. And the new people, they're selling those little helicopters that they sell in the malls at the kiosk where they always demonstrate them. They go up in the air, and the person demonstrating never crashes them once. And they also have airplanes. They've got really, really great stuff. It's mainly, you know, toys for children and adults. And they say, handbags? Oh, we don't know anything about that, but look at this helicopter. Look how great it is. I can make it go straight across over to the other store. And pretty much you're out of business. That's what happens when you use anybody else's domain to build a part of your business. It can be gone in an instant. You know, and even if it stays on Weebly forever, Google may not ever index it. Or if they are indexing it, they may decide, yeah, Weebly page isn't that strong. It's connected to Weebly. We're not going to index it. Then basically you're out of business if you're de-indexed. I've been de-indexed, so I know what that's like. So you want to have hosting that you own and control. You want to have domains that you own and control. You want to put up your sites. Now we use WordPress just about for everything. That way you own it and control it. Nobody can put you out of business. All right. Kim, it really doesn't matter. It's a Weebly based. You want a business that's WordPress based. All right, let me go through. We've got a couple of minutes left. Petra says, when you shorten an affiliate link with PrettyLink, do you then change it? Okay, so if you go to connieloves.me, that's the domain that I use. Then once you install, and I can tell by your questions, you haven't installed the free plugin called PrettyLink. It's free. There's a paid version I'm using now, but you don't need to use that in the beginning. All right, once you do that, you'll see exactly how to do that.
Connie?
All right, and yes?
I was trying to forward my website email over to a Google account and have a Google ad.
Call up your hosting and they'll walk you through that.
They walked me through and they put me through their server, so it no longer pings.
Why don't you email me about any kind of technical things? Because my advice to anybody who's really in business is you have a tech person on retainer, usually 2 hours a month. That's something you email them, and they magically fix it within 24 hours.
Ah.
So email me, and I will share that information.
Okay, thank you.
All right. You know, if you're trying to do a lot of this, just remember, just think of when you first rented a house as an adult. So I'm assuming you didn't buy right away. You rented a house. When you rented that house, you didn't, to the exclusion of not having a job, you didn't stay at that house and do all the painting, take care of the lawn, put on a new roof. You didn't do all that. You left the house. You went somewhere else where you had a job, more than likely, and other people who were specialists came and worked on the roof, did the plumbing, mowed the lawn. Okay? Because if you had stayed home, you wouldn't have been in the house long because you wouldn't have had a job that brought in income. The internet business, same thing. If you stay on the sites and you're doing all these little techie things, that's a full-time job when you don't know how to do it. When you have a tech person who does it for you, they can do in 15 minutes what might take you all day just to figure out. Your time is valuable. You need to be writing, creating products, being productive. Doing something that someone else does by the hour or by the job is never going to be a productive use of your time.
Okay.
All right, so I have time for one last question here. Let me get it from the ones that people have All right. I've closed the line just so I can get the last question here. And let me see where it is. All right. Suzette's question. Would love a schedule, but I am new to online with no list and want to start affiliate marketing. Seems like I need to work on everything, but that's not possible. So what would I spend my time working on and researching? I have to pick up my son from school, so I hope I can get a recording. Okay, so you have a child in school. So right there, that takes some of your time. I realize it. That go through the productivity challenge. Go through all 30 days. Look back at the previous two. I did one in 2012, one in 2011. 21daproductivitychallenge.com and 21daysofproductivity.com. Those obviously are both 21-day challenges. This one is a 30-day challenge. If you day by day go through what I'm having you do, your business will be built. It really will. Affiliate marketing is a wonderful place to start, but you have to have some people to sell to be able to recommend to. So with your schedule, and you said that you'd love to have a schedule, you have to make a schedule for yourself. So if you have a child that you drop off at school, just say at 8:30 in the morning or 8:15 in the morning, maybe you will start at 9 o'clock. And maybe you can work from 9 until noon. Because after that, maybe you have things around the house you have to do. And finally, you probably have to leave the house by 1:30 or so to pick up your son. So what you want to do is make that time, carve out that time for yourself, and try to do it 3 days a week at first. Because during those 9 hours, you can lay your foundation. You can get your site up. You can start posting to your site because our blog is our home on the internet. You can get a whole lot accomplished. So that's what you want to do so you can get moving with your online business. Thank you so much for sharing this time with us today. This is Connie Reagan Green from Huge Profits Tiny List. You can listen to all of the calls in the podcast series if you go over to Online Marketing Tips. Take care and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.